Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. We got a show full of new Saints guys that will join us throughout the program at 420. Will Clapp, he was an old guy. Now he's a new guy back again as the Saints have re-signed him for some depth at both the center and guard position. Former Brother Martin High School star, and then certainly was a standout with the LSU Tigers. Draft choice of the Saints, had a couple seasons here, and then went to the L.A. Chargers and Buffalo Bills before returning to the Saints. And at 440, Valus Jones Jr., one of the Saint LSU coaches talked to me about quite a bit when he came out of high school and from the Mobile area. He goes to USC, then transfers to Tennessee, has a big senior season for the Volunteers, third-round pick of the Bears, and he's played a little bit of wide receiver and running back, and also he's been a return man. So we'll get him to tell us about exactly how they're going to use him here in this Saints offense. And the Saints have just announced a few minutes ago that they have come to terms on a one-year contract with Landon Young. Now, Landon had been a late-round pick, seventh-round pick a few years back. He was a guy Zach Strief personally worked out. I know Zach thought a lot of him. He's played in a reserve position, I think has even started a little bit at both tackle and guard. And so he's being brought back on a one-year deal. Steve, this doesn't surprise me. You bringing back somebody that you, from a front office and some members of the staff, know a little bit about, and he brings you some versatility at both tackle and guard.
Yeah, I was going to go right there, Mike. I like the signing just because he's a guy that's been homegrown in the Saints system here, can play the multiple positions, hard worker kind of guy. And, you need depth along the offensive line. We know all too well that injuries pile up O-line early and often.
Yeah, and that was something this football team needs to continue to do, because I think that, for me, yes, they could use another edge rusher. But you got to rebuild up that offensive line, both talent-wise and depth-wise. And I think certainly the Eagles kind of drew up the blueprint of how you're going to do it. And you're going to have to use some early-round picks with this, because this offensive line class is going to cut off real quick. It doesn't have the depth and talent depth that we have seen in years past. So don't be surprised if it's either the first or the second round pick. The Saints use one on an offensive lineman. And Steve, talking about bad luck, man, good gracious, you just heard it on the Sports Flash. Trey Murphy goes down and diagnosed with a torn labrum, partial tear of the rotator cuff in his right shoulder, out for the remainder of the year. And now he joins Herb Jones and DeJounte Murray. And it's almost like, what else could go wrong for this Pelicans basketball team? You talk about a season that you really has almost disappeared on you. But to have those injuries and to have this late, it really kind of hits the last nail on the coffin for that 2024-2025 season.
Definitely been a brutal year all around for the Pels organization with the injuries, like you mentioned. Trey Murphy, too, having a breakout year, really a budding star for this squad. Wishing him the best in recovery. Right now, Mike, we got on the line with us a returning Brother Martin grad and also LSU, Will Clapp, center guard for the Saints. Welcome back, Will. How you been doing?
I'm all good, guys. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Will, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And, every adventure is there. And for you, you stayed local. You're a Brother Martin guy. You go to LSU. You get drafted by the Saints. And then you hit coast to coast. You go with the Chargers, and then you Buffalo back to the Saints. What was the deciding factor? Because I know you had some teams interested in you in coming back to the black and gold.
Yeah, mainly it was, you know, just I was so excited about this coaching staff. I had played for a lot of these guys in my last year in L.A., and that was the biggest selling point. Obviously, you know, being able to stay home with the family and being here with my wife and kids, like that was a huge plus. They didn't travel with me to Buffalo last year, so, you know, being able to be with them, but this coaching staff to be with them and, you know, help try to build something special here was, you know, a big sell for me here.
Will, since leaving the Saints, you have predominantly played the center position. In talking to Kellen Moore, Mickey Loomis, some of the members of the coaching staff, are they looking at you doing that dual role of playing both center and guard here with New Orleans?
Yeah, if you're not in the starting five, you're gonna have to play multiple spots. So I would imagine that, you know, just like everywhere else I've been, even when I was with LA, I never really played much guard, but I knew that, you know, in a pinch, you know, I might have to go over there in a game and play if, you know, injuries start popping off. So I'm ready for that role again, and, you know, ready to do whatever they need me to do on this team.
Will, the other thing is, you know, you think about, man, your journey took you. You had Drew Brees at quarterback, you know, when you first started here, and you go to LA and you got Justin Herbert. And then in Buffalo, you got Josh Allen. And I know all three are a little bit different, but what distinguishes those three guys? Because they're all three different type of personalities, the way they run the game. But, man, you've been blessed to play with three talented quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen.
Yeah, all those guys, I mean, like you said, different personalities. But I feel like the thing that they all have is like that game day, like killer instinct, and like game day, all three of those guys just are different dudes. And it was a privilege to be able to play with all of them. You know, like this past year, just seeing Josh and him playing at an MVP level. I mean, it was really awesome just to be a part of that and, you know, see that guy go to work and, you know, really just sometimes just take over games. And all three of those guys, you know, have done that, you know, throughout their, you know, great careers. So, like you said, I've been very lucky to play with some very Hall of Fame level quarterbacks.
Will, one of the things, too, in playing center, and I'd say this all the time, it's the second toughest position to play at any level. I don't care if it's high school, college, pros, because you got to know what you got to do. And first things first, you got to make sure that the snap is right to the quarterback. Every time, not 90% of the time, 100% of the time, but your communication skills with the guard and the guards communicating with the tackles, and you got to pick up, because today I think we see it much more than we ever have, that a lot of this interior blitz stuff or delay blitz that you got to pick it up. For someone, and I've preached this for a long time now about the center position, just how delicate it is and how tough it is to play, for people out there to understand playing that center spot, that, you know, it's a physical game, but it's also a mental chess game of you starting reading different things to make sure your quarterback is upright and that running back's got a lane to run through.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a you know, defenses change all the time in the league, and you got to be willing to adapt in your protection schemes. I think it all starts, you know, within the game plan week. You know, I've been lucky throughout my career of having coaches that are very good with their third down game plans. Then it's just the guys on the field, how you communicate together. You know, when I was first here, learning from like Max Unger and having, you know, some veteran players like Larry Warford and those guys. I mean, seeing how they communicate and how they went about their business. Sometimes, you know, those guys played together for so long. Sometimes it was just a glance look at each other and they knew what they wanted to do. And, you know, that's the type of stuff that you build with being together and getting a ton of reps with each other throughout camp and, you know, multiple seasons. And something that I know we'll be looking forward to building, you know, starting in OTAs in a month.
Will, obviously you're familiar with your surroundings in New Orleans, this area, with being prep, college, drafted by the Saints, now back with a team that you mentioned, you know, have some familiarity with these coaches that are here. One, the head coach, Kellen Moore, what was he like being the offensive coordinator and playing under him with the Chargers?
Yeah, loved playing for Kellen out in L.A. He was, you know, everything was just so efficient, fast, to the point. You know, everything was like, he's so detailed and everything's just laid out in the, you know, how we're about to go about the day, expectations, you know, what we're going to do for this game plan, how the plan to beat a team in a week. And, you know, loved his playbook, loved everything about it. And definitely excited to get back with him. Just a great offensive mind. And, you know, the rest of the staff he built, you know, just excited to work with all of them.
Will, I'm getting old in life, and days like today really bring it to light for me. I scouted your dad when he came out of LSU. So that really goes to show you, I've been doing this for some time now, but your dad was a really terrific high school player, such a good player at the collegiate level at LSU. Is there something he brought to you about line play that still sort of sticks with you today?
Yeah, like when I was in high school, my dad was always, you know, he was a D lineman, so he always tried to teach me, you know, things that D linemen do when they, you know, when they get a certain block. He would always make me go down to Pete Jenkins' camp at Nickel State, and I would do the defensive side, and as a high school offensive lineman, I'd just do all the defensive drills and you know, learn those techniques, and you know, it did help me as a young player just trying to, you know, see what, you know, what linemen want to do, or what they're being coached when you do a certain thing to them.
Steve?
So, you know, back now home in Louisiana, what was some of the first things that you were looking forward to doing being back in the boot?
You know, first thing was first, like I said, my wife and kids didn't travel with me. So just getting back with the kids and getting, you know, back in dad shape. That was number one. You know, learning the routines, you know, learning how to do school drop off and pick up, doing all that. Then, you know, just hitting all the good food spots, man. I mean, you know, love Buffalo. The wings are forever, you know, my favorite spot for wings, but you know, the New Orleans cuisine, you know, I missed all of it. You know, crawfish season is rolling, you know, doing Mardi Gras. I mean, you know, we went all out, you know, like we do every year for Mardi Gras. So doing all that was just super fun getting back in town.
Will, one of the things I'll never forget, a friend of mine, Frank Lewis, he played in Buffalo. He first of all started it with Pittsburgh, and he got traded to Buffalo. So him and his wife and the kids, they rented a house in Buffalo. So he went there in the summertime, and he sees this fire hydrant, and there's a big flag up in the sky. So he asked the real estate agent, what's the flag for? She was like, oh, Mr. Lewis, it snows so much. That's for the fire people to find the fire hydrant because it will snow over the top of the hydrant. And Frank was like, whoa, man, that's really something. Yeah, I grew up in Homer, and I see this. So he said, man, it was a real experience, Mike, to see that.
Oh yeah, the snow in Buffalo is just crazy. I remember the first blizzard we had. I thought it was awesome. I was like, I've never really seen snow like this. I mean, this is so cool. Everybody there was like, just get ready for it. And I mean, there was one night I went to pick up some food and I didn't realize how bad it was snowing. It's crazy. Within like 10 minutes of like driving, you can go from like just like a light little snowfall to like a heavy blizzard where you can't even see. Like, I'm driving down these roads, I have no idea if I'm on, you know, my side of the road or the other. I mean, it's crazy out there.
Will, thanks so much for joining us. And again, congratulations coming back home to Louisiana. And man, enjoy watching you when you be out for the OTAs and also summer camp.
No, I appreciate y'all having me.
All righty. Saints' new offensive center guard, Will Clapp. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. I want to thank Will Clapp for joining us in the first segment here with us to talk about his return back to the Saints. And Steve, tonight, LSU playing UNO at 6:30 tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL. But, man, you look a little bit down the road, and you see them Longhorns, and you talk about a big test early. That series against Texas.
Mike, I'm going to hop in here and kind of give some numbers about, you know, the SEC and the weekend series. This is the one top 10 matchup in the SEC this upcoming weekend. I know that we kind of previewed it, that it was probably going to be the premier matchup of the SEC schedule for week two. You know, Tennessee and Alabama are playing each other. That's also great. Alabama's off to a 3-0 start in SEC play as well. But I think this matchup with Texas and LSU, funny enough, all four of the teams that are off to 3-0 starts in SEC play are all playing each other this weekend, Mike. So, yeah, no, but I can't wait. Jim Schlossnagel, man, what else can you say about the guy? He just wins everywhere he goes. And so, you know, yes, he had kind of an ugly exit from Texas A&M. But look at where A&M's at right now versus what Texas has done so far through the first 20 games of the season. They look great.
Okay, Charlie, had he left A&M and went, I'm going to just throw it, to North Carolina, would people have made a big thing of it?
No.
You know why he got made a big thing? He went to Texas. That's what really made it big.
Yeah, especially after losing, you know, the national championship series to Tennessee. You go to the arch rival, the school that loves to call you a little brother and stuff like that. It was a bad look, and it was a rough timing and everything like that. But what can you say about the guy? He just wins. And so, yes, LSU, it's a step up in competition from their opening weekend series against Mizzou, but it should be a lot of fun. Other weekend series as well, Mike, Texas A&M's playing Vandy, who's number 22 in the country. Auburn, who's number 20 in the country, is playing Kentucky, got off to a bad start in SEC play. Georgia, who's number 4, you know, with under head coach Wes Johnson, is playing number 13 Florida. That's another really fun matchup. And then Ole Miss is playing Mizzou. So we got a few of them, but LSU versus Texas is definitely the premier matchup, in my opinion.
And today, I know we've had some texters bring this up to me about Garrett Bradbury, who was a former 2019 first-round pick of the Vikings. Minnesota had tried to maybe make a deal with him, but nobody bit. And so he got released, and now he's come up with a new two-year deal with the New England Patriots. A lot of people think that had some thoughts of maybe moving him to left guard for another team, but he signs up a new two-year deal, $12 million, 3.8 of that $12 million guaranteed. When we come back, we'll have on with us another member of the New Orleans Saints, Phaelus Jones Jr., running back, wide receiver, return man, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long, behind the glass here in our studio. And we had one of the texters ask me about the left guard position. When I take a look at it that now, are you real comfortable with that left guard position? I know Landon Young can play that spot. Will Clapp has played it. Nick Saldiveri was the guy, I think, to be honest, Charlie, that's the guy they wanted to take over that left guard position. And, man, he's been hurt so often. And when he got a chance to play, you could tell all that missed practice time, he got beat like a drum. And I know one thing, if I see it, so do other teams in the NFL.
Right.
The Saints have to look at that as a priority spot unless you are thinking about doing some switching, picking a tackle if it's a left or a right, and move a Trevon Penning inside.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, Mike, because we've talked about this tackle class is not very deep. So if you're going to get one, you should probably get one in round one with the 9th overall selection. However, if you don't think there's value there and you don't want to take a tackle in this class, the guard class is pretty interesting, Mike. I guess, you know, I want to get your thoughts early on about the guards because, yeah, maybe Tyler Booker is the first-round pick from Alabama. But outside of that, Gray Zabel potentially sneaks into the first round as well just because there is a need for interior offensive line, especially with some of the teams near the bottom of the first round. But I think there's going to be a good run on interior offensive line in day two, and with the Saints hanging out with that extra third-round pick, I think that's obviously a clear position that they can address too.
Yeah, I think Tyler Booker is definitely a guy that'll go within the top 22 picks. I think Gray Zabel, who has really played right tackle, right guard, left tackle at North Dakota State. I would think that they would look more at him as an interior player, though he can play tackle.
Agreed.
I'm not saying he can't. The intriguing guy for me is Donovan Jackson from Ohio State, who had mostly played as an interior player. Then all of a sudden now they get some injuries, and he's got to be kicked out to tackle. I thought Donovan really played well. Now, I didn't think when you watched him work out, something may have been wrong. He may not have been feeling well at the combine. But Donovan Jackson, I'm going to tell you right now, I know a couple teams that have Donovan Jackson as a 20s pick in round one. They think of him that much. And so, yeah, I agree with you, but this draft class of tackles, guard, centers does not have the talent or the talent depth that we've seen in years past from offensive line. So it's just how you value it, but there's an attrition part, is that the drop-off is really steep once you're going to get out of those top, I think, 38 picks.
Yeah, Mike, when I initially had the Saints take in Armand Mambu with the 9th overall selection of my first mock, it was with the intention of putting him at right tackle, and then you kick Penning into guard. And obviously, I think he would be taking that left guard spot. And it's a little bit awkward because the guy has shifted positions already from left tackle to right tackle. And then if you're kicking him into guard, that's three straight years of him playing a different position. But at the same time, you got to take the best player available. And if you like one of those guys, it would be interesting to see, because I think you saw some great things from Taliese Fuaga. What do you do if you take Will Campbell, right, from LSU? Yes, you want him to start at tackle. A lot of people see him as a guard because of his arm length. I think, you know, we've talked about this before on the show, Mike, that you let him fail at tackle before you play him at guard. And I don't think he will, because he's such a stout prospect. But does he potentially be an option? And then what do you do with Taliese Fuaga? It's just question marks on the offensive line if you do decide to take an offensive lineman early in the 2025 draft, which I think is still on the table for sure.
Yeah, because I think what we don't know is how the coaches feel about those players.
That's true.
And my feeling is that if you get a chance and Will Campbell's there and you select him, then I'm going to move Fuaga back to right tackle.
I agree.
And then you can kick Trevor Penning inside. So I think if you draft Mambu, then you can keep everybody sort of as they are at the tackle spots, but you kick Trevor Penning inside to guard. And I think one of the two linemen will be there. One of those two guys. And I think it's a close shave, Charlie. Well, I mean, we've talked about it for weeks about you look on some people's board, they have Campbell, and then all of a sudden, Mambu goes to the combine. He ain't played one game yet.
Yep.
And all of a sudden now, he's the top tackle. I think it's razor close between the two of them, but I do think one of those tackles is going to be there at 9. Somebody is not going to pick one, and you're going to have your choice of one of those tackles. And depending on how the draft is, the Saints have to look at that, because if there's talent depth, it's along the defensive line.
I've never,
not at offensive line.
I've never bought that the Patriots are going to draft, you know, top offensive lineman available, even though it is a major need. I think they're going to go best player available because that roster needs so much help just top to bottom. And at that point, Mike, you get past maybe Jacksonville at 5. The two spots that are a little bit intriguing, at least for me with Mambu, you know, maybe the Raiders, but we're convinced that they're going to take Ashton Jeanty at pick 6. And then pick 7 is where it gets really concerning, because I think that the Jets could fully buy in. They drafted Olufashinu last year. He's going to be their left tackle of the future. And if they take Armand Mambu, it's almost kind of a similar situation to the Saints, where they got Taliese Fuaga in the past draft. He looked great. And now you get your right tackle of the future. The Jets are in a similar spot where they have Fashanu that can play left tackle, but they do kind of have a hole at right tackle, so it would make sense for them to take Mambu at pick 7. I think that Will Campbell would be the one that's more likely to be there at pick 9 personally, but it'll be interesting to see how kind of the board shapes up, because the Jets can do a bunch of different things a couple picks above them. I don't think the Panthers are interested in offensive line. They're probably looking more defense, but when we talked with Des Johnson last week, Mike, we did around the NFC South to kind of recap free agency. Des made a point that a lot of the spending that the Panthers have done so far has been on defense, and that's kind of opening up their options a little bit at pick eight. So we'll just kind of have to see how it all plays out.
Do they have a pass rusher?
No, they could really use the Jalen Walker, though. I mean,
yeah, see, because that's where Walker comes into play. And with the Jets, Brock Bauer said this after the Raiders picked him last year. Which team showed the most interest to you? And he was quick. New York Jets.
Right.
Do they flip that this year?
And go Tyler. And
go Tyler Warner.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, the Jets are in a good spot ahead of the Saints, unfortunately, because Tyler Warren's someone that we've talked about a bunch for the Saints at pick 9-2. But if you are going offensive line, I think it's an interesting question, Mike. Like, what do? If you take, you know, Will Campbell, you play him at left tackle, you move Talia Seifuaga back to his natural position at right, you take Armand Membu and everyone just kind of stays put, and you move Penning in to guard in either situation, or do you kind of just stay put and maybe potentially address the guard spot later on in the draft? I think the Saints have some options here.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is I think the wild card as a top 10 pick is going to be Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan. I think he's a guy a lot of people really want to get to know a little bit better.
Right.
He is clear-cut, other than Travis Hunter, the best cover guy in this draft class. Don't let what happened those final four games with the turf toe injury and he didn't play sway you anyway.
Mike,
you watch what he did for Michigan. He put you in his hip pocket. You ain't made no plays on Will Johnson. And a lot of times coaches, man, they hear the racket, what I call it,
right,
of the offseason from other people about, oh, well, he maybe could have come back and play. Okay, made the business decision not to. But if you want a player, Will Johnson can flat out be a stud cover cornerback in the National Football League. We'll come back to finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in our number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, Velus Jones Jr. will join us at 5:10. Then, Charlie, we'll have Stacy Hollowell, UNO's men's basketball coach, talk a little bit about UNO basketball, but also about breaking down the NCAA tournament. And at 5:40, Zach Nagy from LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. We'll talk a little bit about spring football. I know you had one of the callers ask about Garrett Nussmeier and developing an RPO system. I think you will see Garrett run a little bit more than he did last year. Now, he didn't run at all last year, almost. They kind of kept him exactly where he was. But Garrett's a really good athlete. And I think that they got to put that in that system that teams just aren't focused, that he won't take off and run with the football. I think you will see more of that from Garrett Nussmeier in 2025. I just think that's a feature that has to be there on the LSU offense. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.